Welcome back to Tech Hygiene. We help you stay sane in a crazy world. Say hi to your hosts, John Biggs and Lauren Feldman.
Welcome back to Tech Hygiene, a podcast about staying sane in an increasingly complex world. I'm a decidedly non-complex John Biggs, and with me is Lauren Feldman. Hello, Lauren.
Hello, John. I'd like to consider myself a simple man as well.
Simple man, with simple pleasures. We enjoy.
We're just like podcasting and things like that, man.
That's all we like.
It doesn't take a lot to please us.
Yeah, exactly. That's the trick. Like I have my Star Wars toys here. I have a 3D printer, and I have a $8,000 computer and audio rig. That's all I need. That's all I really need, ultimately. It's easy to keep me happy, I guess you could say.
So what's doing in the world?
Jeff Bezos. We didn't even talk about Jeff Bezos leaving.
No. Smart move.
Do you think it was a smart move for him?
Very.
Give me your assessment. Assessment.
Why does he need to be the front man and take all of the heat for Amazon?
You think
just
he
step
did
away.
It, you think he did it to get to proactively like run from the heat?
Yeah, I do, truthfully.
Because so there are a couple stories out. There's a couple stories circulating right now. I mean, first off, Amazon is basically creating an entire trash problem. Massive amounts of trash are building up just because they're selling thousands of boxes of garbage a day to every block in the world, really, every city block. There's just stuff just landing everywhere. So you're going to have so many freaking Amazon boxes that the world's going to be paved with them. So that's step one. What else you got? You got all the AI stuff.
Yeah, but I think he just was running away from the heat of possible antitrust stuff, having to be the richest guy in the world and the second richest at this point and take all of the heat for not paying employees.
Yeah, exactly.
He's got the new hottie girlfriend he wants to spend time with. I saw he jetted off to Cabo. He's working out. What does he need the heartache of running Amazon, taking all of the heat? I think it's a very smart move.
So you think he did it so he doesn't get the agita?
I think he did it. It's an anti-agita move. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And he's got the hottie. He wants to spend time with the hottie. Would you rather be looking at spreadsheets or hanging out with the hottie in Cabo? I know what I'd rather do.
Yeah, exactly. I get that.
I mean, you know, he obviously went through some changes, shall we say, with the, you know, the divorce and the working out. That guy is one step away from pulling an Elon and getting hair plugs and walking a runway and all of that. Who knows? But he did the right thing, I think.
I mean, he always seemed like the guy who, I don't know. I met him once and it was like meeting like a guy who's completely at the center of this whirlwind. It's all really quiet for him, and all the people around him are just basically are. I mean, for all intents and purposes, they're kind of destroying his life because they're the ones who are inventing logistical systems that a guy like him, who worked at Bear Stearns for a minute, I guess, isn't even thinking about. So you've seen the Amazon trucks, and I don't know if they're out in California yet, but we have Amazon trucks going all over the place, and they've basically just supplanted UPS completely as the de facto model. And that's pretty wild if you think about it, because an entire company, one single company, now probably has a bigger fleet than, I don't know, the freaking taxi commission out here.
Yeah. Yeah, no, they're going after UPS. They're going after FedEx. I mean, it's pretty incredible. I mean, that, you know, Amazon could start delivering packages just for other companies.
Yeah, exactly. I mean,
and I'm sure that's in their future.
That's the whole point. So if you think about the decision to bring the new guy in, I forget what the guy's name was, but the new guy was head of AWS, which is Amazon Web Services, which was basically all the stuff that they built for themselves to make a website that doesn't go down. And then, and if this guy is in the head now, he's basically saying, okay, well, our main product isn't actually selling soap and books and whatever. It's actually selling this technology, and they're making a lot more money probably from that.
Yeah, he's supposedly very, very bright. He's been with them since the beginning. He started AWS and has been with them, you know, throughout all of it. And yeah, I mean, Amazon at the end of the day is, I don't know, a logistics company?
Yeah, it's a logistics. Well, no, it's a services company. It's a services.
Software and logistics?
Software and services, let's say. It's okay. In terms of logistics is part of it. And eventually that logistics will be a service that they offer. I can imagine a time when you're going to sit in your house and you're going to create like an Amazon order that you're going to sell, like an Etsy product or something like that. And a truck comes by, picks it up, takes it to where, or you drop it off at the Amazon Dropbox or whatever. At the Amazon Go store. But I mean, think about what else they're doing. They've created the Go stores, which are just basically empty shells, and you have like one or two people in there working there. And you go in, grab what you want, and you leave. And that idea is extremely scary to anybody with half a brain and an understanding of history, because you've basically, once again, you've cut the proletariat, quote unquote, out of these equations, which is kind of scary.
Yeah, I mean, we're going to be losing jobs everywhere. I mean, you know, we're already dealing with poor restaurants because the pandemic and all of that stuff. But yeah, as you said, I mean, as that technology in the supermarkets, what is it, Whole Foods or Amazon stores.
Yeah, Amazon Go stores.
I mean, what? Right. So those Go stores can be translated into Macy's, mm-hmm. or, you know, regular retail. The Gap. Gap sounds like a great fit, yeah, for that, just, or Old you, Navy you, or something.
You,
pick up,
you
know?
Pick up a shirt, you try it on, you, I don't know, leave. You leave with it, and it just charges you, and that's exactly what that's
right. I mean, any kind of retail environment that doesn't require a lot of customer service in terms of explaining a product or this or that, you know, the Gap and stores like that, that, you know, they have, I guess, a certain limited amount of SKUs. I mean, they have a lot of products, but, you know, jeans are jeans, t-shirts are t-shirts, you know. Small, medium, large, couple colors. You get them, scan it, you're out. And then it had, you know, used to have 20 employees in that store, and now there's 3.
So what do those people do? That's the real heat that he's going to take. That's the real heat that he's
right. Well, they have two choices. They're either going to drive for Uber or they're going to become day traders.
Well, you don't have to drive for Uber. Well, yeah, you're going to become a day trader. You don't have to drive for Uber anymore because Uber doesn't. You don't need to drive.
Right.
It's the machines are taking over all the jobs that were once kind of like the, I don't know. I don't even know how to describe it. Cause it's like, it's a job that I would have taken when I was in high school. Right. I worked at Arby's. I worked at Burger King, but if you got a robot that can flip your burgers for you, they don't need a 16-year-old pimply kid to go in there and do it.
Right.
It's kind of frustrating.
Yeah, no, it's very much a problem. Very much a problem. And I, you know, I like what you brought up about the youth and your youth. Those kids are really going to get shafted.
Yeah.
I don't know if you saw the other day in the Times, they had an incredibly depressing stat. 25% of 18 to 24 year olds in America have thought seriously about suicide. Yeah. That's crazy. And that's more than just the pandemic. That's an overall doom and gloom about jobs, about everything. So,
well, again, this is the interstitial period. This is the period between, this is like the, I don't know, 1910s, where there was not much going on. You didn't even have the Gilded Age. You didn't have any world wars. I mean, not to say that the world wars were any great shakes, but that kind of stuff defines a generation. Whereas from about 1900 to the tens, you basically didn't, nobody was doing anything. And the same could be true of like early 1800s as well. You had a lot of changes, but you didn't have any drastic changes in lifestyle. The difference between a person living in 1910 and like 1950 would have been massive. the difference between us and 1950 is minuscule, except for computers and phones. They had everything we have, which is
right.
Which is kind of just kind of depressing. We're on a flat innovation curve. Speaking of flat innovation curves, what's going on in Texas there?
Texas, who you might have remembered from a few weeks ago, was ready to secede from the Union and form their own country.
Yeah, I got yelled at about that when you
tweeted. Right. So apparently Texas has been conquered by snow. Yeah.
It's hard not to feel a little Schadenfreude about this, but it's also kind of like everybody's anti-federalist until you have to buy snow tires, I guess.
I absolutely have no problem with laughing my ass off at them. Zero problem. Zero problem laughing my ass off at them. I mean, I'm sorry. You know, you can't be a big shot one week and, you know, F those damn Yankees and we're seceding and this and that. And meanwhile, you don't have a snow shovel in the state. It's like it's snowing, big deal. It's a little cold, figure it out. And, you know, they're talking about people dying in the streets. Listen, I don't want anybody dying in the streets, okay? I think I want to be clear about that. But at the same time, it's like, get your shit together and some snow. Seriously, and this whole thing about them, they have their own separate power grid. They're not even part of the U.S. power grid. I saw your boys over at Gizmodo wrote an in-depth article about these wind turbines and all that. Why don't you fill me in on that?
Well, no. So it's like, so the most of the homes in Texas are heated by natural gas, and then there's also electrical heating as well. And the power outages are basically due to the electrical grid not being designed for winter. So it was designed for summer. So it's designed to have a massive spike when it gets hot, but it's not designed for a massive spike when it gets cold. So it's basically, and plus the lines aren't designed for it. The cold isn't there. And there's no truth to this whole frozen windmill thing.
So in a second or less, what is the issue actually? Just the infrastructure wasn't built right.
Yeah, it's depressurizing the gas lines. Mm-hmm. The gas isn't coming through, so you're running out of gas. You're running out of electricity because the gas power plants aren't running anymore. So it's just the wind is just a little part of it. It's not even a minuscule part of all their electricity. So for them to say that they're that windmills are frozen and then other things like fossil fuels are the greatest thing in the world is completely disingenuous because it's not true.
Texas will survive though, Biggs.
I think it will. I think it's going to be okay. I think we're going to make it.
All right.
Well, we're going to close this one up because this is we're having some technical difficulties. But I am John Biggs.
I am Lauren Feldman.
And we will hang with you next week. Hopefully Texas will be unfrozen by then. We can go have a Texas patty melt. Is that a thing?
No, but I'll remember the Alamo.
Thanks for listening.